Okay, guys, so I know I don't usually record Sundays, but I was at my nephew's bris, so we were picking up at Tzad Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara says, Chanina bar Yaakov b'shem Rav Yehuda, shorshei chita, bokin ba'aretz, chamishim ha'ma, shorshei te'ena, rakim, bokin b'tzur. So once we were talking about how far into the ground rain penetrates, so the Gemara continues talking about other things and their ability to go, how deep they can go into the ground. So wheat can go down 50 amot, and figs, they can go even through rock. And Tani Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar Amar Ein Aretz Shota Ella Lefi Chisuma. That the amount of water that is absorbed and drunk by the ground depends on how hard it is, and how therefore how much is blocking it. Imkein ma'yasu shorshei chuv u'ma'yasu shikmam. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so what should carob roots and sycamore roots do? Right, because they are very very deep, and they go through hard rock. And if rain can't go through that, so how do they ever get water, right? If it's really true that rain can't get through hard rock, hard earth, then roots that can really go very, very deep into the ground through hard material, the rain isn't going to be able to get there. So Amar Chanina Achad Yom Tom Ole Umashke Otam. So the Gemara suggests that the water for these are coming from the bottom. They're not coming from the top down, but they're coming from the deep. Uma Taima, and what's the reason, or what's the source? Yishayahu Perchav Zayin Ani Hashem Notzra. Liragaim, God says, I created it, I water it, liragaim, regularly. So that is how they're going to get water. Amar Rabbi Zera, Tani Taman. We learn there in Bavel, right, because that's, right, when you're reading Yerushalmi, so that's Bavel, Razol Ba Leolam, Vesova Ba Leolam. Nahar must speak Lamidina, Omer Baruch Atov. If you see that the situation is such that fruit is going to be cheap because there's just so much abundance. And again, right, we have to remember, it's just every so often we should just take note of just how different the modern world is with mass production since the industrial age, how and technological advance, just how cheap food is in relative terms over the course of history, and how much money we have over the course of history. So what small percentage, relatively speaking, of our budget is used to buy food, right? None of us would say, oh, even if we complain about produce going up, none of us would think that, oh, it goes down by a dollar or two a pound, and like it radically changes our life. Or most of us wouldn't. We're here, right? You see, fruit is cheap. People are full, and the rivers are sufficient. So you say, atov ha'mitiv. Amru lo, meit aviv baruch dayan ha'emet, meit v'horisho omer baruch hatov v'ha'meitiv. So if one's parent passes away, father's passed away specifically, actually here, so then you say dayan ha'emet. But if when he hears that he inherits, he also says hatov v'ha'meitiv. And the Bavli, as we've talked about before, has a shita that isn't clearly accepted by the Yerushalmi, which is that a tov ve'meitiv, as opposed to, let's say, she'achayanu, was only said when there are partners involved. So only if you inherit something that someone that along with someone else would you say a tov ve'meitiv. Now the interesting thing here, right, is that the Gemara very much recognizes the possibility of mixed emotions, because presumably one's primary emotion, if he loses a parent, is one of mourning, reflected by Dayan HaEmet, but the Gemara recognizes that at the same time, if you inherit property, so there is a joy there, and it doesn't run away. It doesn't claim that one of the experiences overwhelms the other, but rather it suggests that you have to say both. Okay, that brings us to the next Mishnah. So, Bana Bayit Chadash, V'kana Kelim Chadashim, Omer Baruch Shehegiyanu Lazman Hazeh. If you buy a new house, build a new house, or buy new Kelim, so you say Shehegiyanu. Mivarech al hara'a me'ein ha'tova. Gemara says you have to make a bracha on the good, just like you do, a bad, just as you do on the good. Now, what is the reason for it, right? What is this language of Ra'am Ein HaTovah? So the Bavli suggests that this is a bad that will cause a good, right? So, for example, if your property flooded, and you lose the produce that's in the field that year, but sometimes the flooded field in future years will be particularly productive. So you say, Dayan HaEmet, even though there is a good within it. Now, right, that already points to the possibility that the reason you say Dayan HaEmet is because possibly of a recognition that all bad is in fact good. Tovah Me'en HaRa'ah, right, is a good that can cause bad. So, for example, the Bavli's example, someone finds a lost object, but it could lead to bad, that if someone hears you're hiding it, that could lead to problems. But again, what this seems to be pointing at is that perhaps at least one of the reasons that you say a bracha, and this is in fact what some Mefarshim say, that you say a bracha on the bad as the good, is because you recognize that not everything that seems good is bad, and everything that seems bad is good. Not everything that seems good is good, and not everything that seems bad is bad. Sometimes it's the opposite, and you're expressing a certain level of faith in God. And nevertheless, the bracha that you make now is on the experience that you feel. So, right, you're on the one hand always recognizing what you feel in the moment, while even though it is legitimate to acknowledge that that's not the full story. Vazoek, if you daven, you scream about that which happened in the past, so that is a tefillah in vain. And the reason is because, as the Sefer Chasidim clarifies, even though God can change the past, you don't ask him to, right? You don't rely on miracles, right? And this, I'm sure if you ask Sam Liebens about this, he'll have interesting things to say on how this affects, right, the idea of changing the past and hypertime and hyper-hypertime and all the things he's talked about, that God obviously has the ability to change the past. And in fact, certain cases, God, could change the past in theory, but it's not proper, right? That's not, we daven based on what the world is like under normal circumstances. And the Gemara says, Kate said, what's an example? If one's wife is pregnant, shav, and he says, oh, let it be a male. So that is a tefillat shav, because the child is already either a boy or a girl. And we'll see the parameters of that, and it'll be different, Bavli versus Yerushalmi. And if you're on the way and you hear her screaming, you say, may it be not in my house, or is it tefillat shav? Because whatever happened, happened. So Gemara says, "Bana bayit chadash v'kana kelim chadashim." Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, "Sof davar chadashim ela filu shchakim kiloim chadashim lo." It doesn't mean new per se. It could be that it's used clothes, but it's new for you. So if that's the case, why does it say chadashim? So the Rishonim assume that it can't be something that you used to own, sold, and then you bought back, like machzir gushato. So it has to be new for you. It doesn't have to be new, but it has to be new for you. And the Beis Yosef says, even that if you owned it before and never used it, it wouldn't change the fact that this is the case. Rabbi Yaakov bar Zav, Yishim Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Kana, when you buy something, and again, the simple pshat is you make the bracha when you buy it, not when you wear it. Despite the fact that many of the minog, and this is discussed in the poskim, to make the bracha when you wear it, but the simple pshat is when you buy it. Brach shechayana v'kiman v'gano azman azeh, nitin lo, it's given as a present, omer baruch atov v'ametiv. You say atov v'ametiv. Now, why atov v'ametiv? When you get it as a present. So there's a slight problem, right? The Bavli, as we've mentioned, says you only say atov v'ametiv when there are two people who benefit from it. So the Rush derives from here that when you get a matana, when you get a gift, the giver has pleasure in giving it, besides the obvious that the receiver enjoys getting it. And that's why he says that you can make a bracha on this. I mean, and this far is quoted here by the Marfolda, where he said, "B'matan mevarach hatov ha'meitiv hatov lo v'meitiv lanotein sheyesh lo zchut al yado," that the giver has a zchut for having given to you, and we have very extreme manifestations of this. The Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Zayin, the Gemara has a case of Talmid Chacham, where if it's such a zchut to marry the Talmid Chacham, a woman can say, "I will give you money." And with the benefit, the pleasure I get from the fact that you are willing to say yes to marry me, that is considered my kesef kiddushin. Right? So you see that giving also has a level of hana'ah. And this is how, right, so based on that type of idea, the Rush assumes that this is that the Yerushalmi can fundamentally agree with that principle that you need hana'ah for more than one person. However, others just say, no, this is a machloket, Bavli Yerushalmi, and this is what the Rajba argues, that according to the Yerushalmi, Hatova Meitiv is simply a bracha that you make on enjoyment, on pleasure, and therefore you don't need that standard. But the Beit Yosef, however, accepts the Rash and thinks that the Yerushalmi is lahalacha even according to the Bavli. Again, following the svara of the Rush. However, the Gra vehemently rejects this. And he says, right, so one possibility he thinks the Yerushalmi thinks that whenever you get an absolute good, it doesn't matter whether other people are involved, you say atov va'ameitiv, but maybe on a good which is not muchlat, so then it might depend. A second version, he says, is maybe only say atov va'ameitiv when there's two things, tov muchletet, or there's a shutaf. And then Rabbi Yaakov Razavdi is relating to Shutafim who bought Kalim. And according to the first version, he's talking about one person who bought Kalim, and the one who accepts it says even though there's a Shutafim. But buying you would, because by buying there is mutuality, right? Because the buyer and the seller do get both, but by a present you wouldn't to one person. But by Shutafim, maybe by or maybe you need a Shutaf. Now, according to this, according to the Yerushalmi, for the buying of some kelim, you would say shechayanu, even if there are shutafim. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Rabbi Ba Avod, Rabbi Ba Mari B'Shem Rav Acha Kana Omer Baruch Shem. Right, so if you bought it, shechianu. If he was given as a present, you said tovametiv. Lamash begadim, omer baruch malbish arumim. If you wear clothes, so you say malbish arumim. Right, in addition to shechianu. Again, many posts can assume that this is the proof that shechianu is said when you buy it, because there's a different bracha you say according to Yerushalmi when you wear it. Nevertheless, as I said, the minog nowadays to say it later on. Now, many suggest the reason we don't have the minog to say this malbish arumim is because we just rely on the malbish arumim we say in the morning. Okay, this is a very dense daf. The Gemara now moves, for those of you who are in my shir, right, we were doing the version of this in the Bavli. So move to the brachot on mitzvot. How's the sukkah last month? Omer brach shekishon zavet zivanu lasot sukkah. Now this the Bavli disagrees with. The Bavli says that you don't make a bracha on the making of a sukkah. The Gemara in Menachot says you only make a bracha on the Gemara mitzvah. The Gemara mitzvah is at the time of the asiyah, and this is not the Gemara mitzvah. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. The Nitziv has a famous piece where he argues that even the Yerushalmi only thinks to make a bracha on a Hechsher mitzvah if it's what's called the Hechsher mitzvah k'tuva b'Torah. Whereas the Hechsher mitzvah is itself mentioned in the Torah and therefore has a quasi-mitzvah status. And since the Pasuk talks about building a sukkah, so that is that category. Certain Rishonim, both Rashi and Makot Davchet, in the context of cutting wood, L'shem mitzvah, because that would exempt you if you accidentally killed someone in that process from going to galut, as well as the she'ilto, both talk about a chiv to build a sukkah. Again, the Netziv thinks that means that it's a hechsher mitzvah k'tuvah b'Torah, but according to them, it may actually be at some level a mitzvah itself, which would explain the bracha. But again, the simple pshat is that the Bavli doesn't accept it, even though Rashi and the she'ilto do quote it. So la'achirim la'asot lo sukkah l'shmo. If you make a sukkah for others, you say lishmo. Now there's a machloket what that means. Does that mean for the other person, like it needs to be lishma? And possibly this is following the position in the Gemara, right, that a sukkah must be made for one person, right? That you must be in your sukkah for all of Sukkot, right? That's how the Marsha understands, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that a person can only be yotzei in his sukkah, and therefore lishmo means for the person you're building it for, because otherwise it can't be yotzei. Other mepharshim saying no, it means lishma, right? It's the same as saying lishma for lishma, you know, meaning for God. And this you find the Mara Fulda. The Rush is a totally different Gersa, and he says, no, it's just a difference of Le and Al. If you make it for yourself, you say Le, right? Liv Noda Sukkah or something, Lasot Sukkah. And if you make it for others, you say Alas Sukkah, based on the distinction we found in the Bavli, right? That mitzvot that you do for yourself, you say Le, because it's more about you doing it as opposed to more Klali on the concept of the mitzvah. Then the verse says, Nichnas Le Shivba, when you go in. Omer Baruch Asher Kedishon Mizdav Tzivana Leishiva Sukkah. And again, when you say it, you say it only when you eat, which is the position of Rabbeinu Tam, or every time you walk in Mishita the Rambam. We talked about this in Shir. Is this a machloket about the nature of the mitzvah or the nature of bracha? Mishu Mevarech Aleh B'Leim Devrishon Yitzarech Levarech Aleh Od. And once you make the bracha on the first night, you don't have to make a bracha again. Now, this is a machloket in the Bavli, where the Bavli indeed quotes such a position, that you only make one bracha on Sukkot, of Leishiva Sukkot, the entire Sukkot. We pass on the other shita that you make a bracha every time you eat, every time you sit, every time, you know, you go in, whatever shita you're going to take. But the fact that Yerushalmi is such a position is not crazy, because again, in the Gemara and Sukkot Daf Mem Hayam and Bet, this is in fact a shita that you only make a bracha once over all of Sukkot, because it's one continuous mitzvah, because there is no moment at which you're not chayav to live in the sukkah. So Gemara says, Me'ata ose lulav. Now, again, we're going to see the same things paralleled by lulav. So when you make a lulav, and again, this is the idea that even though you, right, the four minim, putting them together, it creates a new heftza. And this is definitely according to the Shita and the Gemara, that lulav tzarech eged, that you're not yotzei unless you bind it together. But even possibly according to the Shita that ain't tzarech eged, it still adds a status to it. Omer, Baruch Shrek, Nishan, Mitzvah, Tzivan, Lasot, lulav. La'acher la'asot lulav shmo kshunot lo omer al netilat lulav vasher hechayanu umivarech al shavasha shunot lo. And then you make a bracha each time you take it. And now again, that is further a machloket in the Bavli, where the Bavli is to shita. It agrees, right, according to shita there as well, because lulav outside of the Beit Hamikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, is only a mitzvah deraita one day. There's a shita there as well that you only make it once. So here the Yerushalmi is poskening that you make it every day, which again, both of those sheet don't appear in the Bavli. Now again, we don't make any of these psakim. However, it is worth noting that Ikra then we do accept the notion you say Shechayanu when you make the lulav and the sukkah. However, Shulchan Aruch says the minog is to attach that to the mitzvah that we the Shechayanu make at the beginning of Chag and have everything in mind. Ha'ose mezuzah la'atzmo, if you make a mezuzah for yourself, omer la'asot mezuzah, la'achar la'asot mezuzah lishmo, kishu kovan, when you put it up, omer baruch shekis ha'mezuzah v'tivanu, al mitzvat mezuzah. Ha'ose tefillin la'atzmo, if you make tefillin, so if it's for yourself, ha'shekis ha'mezuzah v'tivanu, la'asot tefillin. La'acher, you make it for someone else, la'asot tefillin lishmo, kishu lovesh, when put it on, omer al mitzvat tefillin. And again, as you probably know, we have different shitot where we have two possible brachot of al mitzvah tefillin, laniach tefillin, where there's a machlokes rishonim. Do you always say two, which is the standard minhag Ashkenaz, Or do you normally only say one bracha, but if you talk to a hefsek after laniach, so then you make the bracha of Allah mitzvat. It's a Rashi, right, thinks in general you only make one bracha, or Rabbeinu Tam thinks you always make two brachot. Now, this is not like Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam thinks, sorry, like Rashi, because Rashi does think only one bracha, but his bracha is laniach, but not al mitzvah, which is what the Yerushalmi quotes here. In fact, the Rif is so bothered by this, he changes the girsa to make it like the Bavli according to Rashi. On the other hand, some people bring this as a proof for Rabbeinu Tam, right? That it doesn't say, well, if you talk in between, so then you say al mitzvah. It's assuming no, al mitzvah is clearly the one on the Rosh, and it's implying that you always say the mitzvah and tefillin, and therefore use this as a support for Rabbeinu Tam. So is it tzitzit la'atzmo? If you make tzitzit, Omer Baruch Hashem Kedishanu, mitzvotav tzivanu la'asot tzitzit, la'achar la'asot tzitzit l'shmo, nitatef, Hashem Kedishanu tzivanu la'tatef batzitzit. Hatorim ma'aser, when you give truma to maser, baruch shem yisov tov tiv lafrish truma ma'aser, la'acher if you do for now, la'afrish truma ma'aser l'shmo, ha'shochet, when you shech something, chach lomar, baruch atah Hashem l'kim ha'cholam, shech yishan v'tzot tov tiv al ha'shchita. And why do you say al? So again, different shito, the Bavli suggests maybe because you're not chayiv to do it. Ha'mechaseh, when you cover blood, Omer al kisui adam, and again that's a deal of the Rishonim, which is, well, isn't it obligatory? So why do you say al and not le? And the Rishonim suggests maybe because it's the continuation of the process of shechita, which is we already established. You say al hamal. Now I am not going to go through the whole sugya of Brit Milah because again the guys in my shir know that we spent a long time on this in shir. But hamal tzarach lomar baruch hashem kisam tzav tivanu al hamilah. Avia ben Omer, and this seems to be a different bracha, as we talked about. Either it's a berachat hashevach, a praise that you get to bring your child into the breed, or it's another type of berachat mitzvah. Or, as we talked about from the Rav, that it might be a bracha on like the chalos of being mal, and is part of the father's broader chiyuv of bringing him into mitzvah, which is why it's said after the milah. Again, if you think it's a berachat hashevach, so it's no problem that it's after the milah. But if you think it's a berachat mitzvah, that is pretty weird. So you can solve it in one of two ways. Either you solve it like the Rav, that it's a bracha on a broader mitzvah, and therefore it's not just on the maaseh shechita. Or, as some Rishonim have it technically, this is quoted in Tosfot as one solution, is that you say it after the shechita, after the milah, but before the priya, right? After you cut the foreskin, but before you take off the membrane underneath, and therefore the maaseh mitzvah is not done. So, but this is the second bracha that Avia ben Omer bracha shek the shavu tivano lachnisu rito shalav from Avinu, that you bring us into the Brit ha'om nimsham, and the people standing there. And again, this supports the idea of the broader perspective during Milah. Shvichel Omer kishem shechnas to the Brit kain dachnei l'Torah ulechupa, and argiter sa and lamasim. Tovim and Amivarech, the one who makes the bracha afterwards. Sarach Omer baruch asher kedij. You did me better, and blessed who sanctified the child from the womb. V'chok b'sheiro sum, and he put a sign in his flesh. It said, "Tzav chatam bot brit kodesh," and its descendants he sealed with the holy seal. Al kem b'scharzot el chay chalkenu tzareinu tzavei latzili du tzareinu v'shachat. So you commanded us to save us from destruction. Brachat Hashem karet habrit. Mitzvot me'ema tam yivarech alein. And when do you say the bracha? So again, Rabbi Yochanan Amar over Lasiata, and again, the guys in my shir should be aware of this. So this is the way we pass in the Bavli, that you say it before Avun Amar Bishata Siatan. Huna says you do it during the mitzvah. Now, in the Bavli, we don't have this position of Bishata Siatan, but we do have a Machlok Rishonim, whether over means only before and not during, or it means before and during, but not after. And this is a discussion of the Rambam, there was a Ruam. Again, I won't rehash that. Those of you who want, you can go to the Shirman we did over at Lasiatan. If you're not in my Shiryomi, you can go back to those Shirim. If you're in my Shiryomi, then hopefully you remember this. Azid Rav Huna Kishmuel, Damar Rabbi Yosef Rebun B'Shem Shmuel, Komitz B'Tun Bracha B'Shad Asiatan, Chutz Mi Tkiyo Tvila. So again, in the Bavli, right, there is an exception, and that is The Gemara raises two suggestions, tkiat shofar and tvila. However, the Gemara rejects tvila, sorry, rejects tkiat shofar and limits it only to tvila. And as we saw there, it's machal grishonim. Is it only tvilat ger that is accepted because a ger couldn't have made the bracha before because he wasn't Jewish? Or either through lo plug, or alternatively, as Meiri says, that whatever your tameh, you're not fully ra'ui to make a bracha. So by all tefillah, you wait till afterwards. But that's the only exception the Bavli has. But the Yerushalmi seems to maintain the shita that tkiat shofar, you only see the bracha afterwards. The Eish Omrim af kiddushin bivi'ila. And some say also kiddushin through bia, because you're unclothed, and therefore you cannot say the bracha. There's a machloket rishonim whether the bracha here is birkat irusin. Now, birkat irusin, very quickly, so there's a machloket rishonim. The Rambam holds that kiddushin is a mitzvah. The Rosh says it is not. And based on that, you further have a machloket whether the bracha of irusin is a birkat mitzvah, which the Rambam probably assumes it is. And in the Rosh, who says it's a birkat shefach, it's a praise about the status of kiddushin. Now, if it's a birkat shefach, so obviously that's why you could say it afterwards. If you think it's a birkat mitzvah, this is much more problematic. Some, however, note that maybe this is not talking about the issue of the normal birkat erusin at all. Sorry. But some rishonim, and this is brought in the Or Zeruah, suggests that what we're talking about here is not the normal bracha, sh'atzar lanu et harusot, etc., which sounds much more like a weird bracha, but is a different bracha. Sher kedushan tzav tzivanu al kedushei isha. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yona, Amar itlat chorai, there are others, tefillin shel yad ad shelo yachalot. The tefillin shel yad, that you don't make the bracha until after you take it off. Now, this isn't the bracha of the mitzvah. This is a special bracha on taking it off, which is Sher Kisham Zavet Simen Lishmor Chukav. Rabbi Nutam assumes you only make this a bracha if you're taking off your tefillin at night, like right before nightfall, only in order to not be wearing it at night, because it's not Zman tefillin, but not in general. Vishel Rosh. So Gemara says, why does it bring yad? This is a general rule about taking off tefillin. What does that have to do with yad? So Gemara says, ad sheleiva lo yeva. Mindieva hayeva. So Gemara says, well, so the Gemara is just saying, look, it's just teaching you Derek Agav that while you put on the Shel Yad first and then Shel Rosh, you take off the Rosh and then take off the Shel Yad, and therefore that is what's coming off at the end. We have the same thing in Monach Lamed Vav. There are other interpretations, but I'm not going to get into it, and we'll continue with these issue of Brachot tomorrow with Shechita at the top of Tzadi Bet, but we've already gone half an hour.